Time to take a look at the Arizona Sports Poll Question. Brought to you by Sanderson Ford. The best play is at Sanderson Ford.
Today's the Anderson Ford poll question on the homepage of ArizonaSports.com reads, do you like the Suns' move to start Cam Johnson over Jay Crowder? Yes, no, or need more time to see? I'm going to side with head coach Monty Williams, who said on our show yesterday he liked some of what he saw, but he's not going to give it a grade just yet because he wants to see more. I think we need to see more.
Mm-hmm.
You agree with that, Ben?
Yeah, I do.
All right, that's where our vote's going today. 47% agree. Need more time to see. 34% say already yes. They like the move. 19% of the respondents say no. Whatever your vote is, you can cast it now. It's on the homepage of ArizonaSports.com. That's today's Sanderson Ford poll question.
Bickley and Murata, Social Studies.
A happy Bear Day edition of Social Studies to Sarah Cazell. Hi, Sarah.
Hey, guys. I came prepared to celebrate my favorite Bears.
You did?
So I hope. No.
Bears.
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 Oh,
Bears.
Dicka.
I love it.
Dan Hampton.
Mike the Singletary. Fridge.
Bear Bryant.
Dave Fensick.
Otis Wilson.
Matt Sui. Bob Avellini. I went to school with Bob Avellini.
Willie Gault.
Oh, my gosh.
Emery Moorhead.
Follow us on Twitter.
Jimbo Covert.
At Bickley underscore Murata. That's where Jarrett posts all of our
Keith
social
Van
studies.
Keith Van Horn.
Questions.
Caveman Horn?
All right, guys, let's get into our first question.
We Dennis have got McKinnon.
Some great questions
good.
Today.
Sorry.
And really good answers. Oh, first of all, no, you're not. And second of all, it's okay. I love it. All right, we are starting with what Dave Pasch said on the Doug and Wolf show this morning. He said, in case you're tuning in now and you haven't heard it yet, he said that the Suns looked to move DeAndre Ayton over the summer, saying that he believes the time is now for DA to blossom. Now in his third season in the NBA. So just starting off with your general reaction to what Dave Pasch said. What do you guys think?
I had never heard that before. I'm not exactly surprised, and it makes me like James Jones even more. James Jones in the last 4 or 5 months has really climbed the ladder in my dome, in my head, in terms of how I look at the job that he's done. It was kind of mixed. It was kind of a mixed bag for a while. Mm-hmm. But putting together this team and then this sudden hardcore approach to DeAndre Ayton, I think, is very warranted. I mean, it's year three. You got to produce or you got to move on and you got to find answers.
Yeah,
so the hardcore approach, I'm completely down with.
I agree with Bick. I was I had not heard that either, so yeah. I was a little bit surprised. And then thinking about it, my reaction was it could have been based more on disappointment about the 25-game suspension or things like that. But I agree also with Bick in that James Jones, as the architect of a basketball team, you have to be cutthroat. I mean, he moved on from Kelly Oubre, a very popular player, and a lot of people were upset about it.
Yeah.
But he did something that he thought makes the team better. And that
Josh
should
Jackson
be the
and TJ Warren.
That should be the ultimate goal of a GM, is to continue to improve the team that you're putting out on the floor. So, I'm rooting for DeAndre Ayton. I want him to be great, but if they feel like they can improve the team by moving him, or they felt like that over the summer, then who am I to say anything?
Mm-hmm. That seems to be the general consensus in our responses. Adam Nelson says, if you're not exploring every option to make your team better in the offseason, you aren't doing your job as a GM. He says, I feel like the only untouchable player last offseason was Devin Booker. Tommy Mosquito says, I'm somehow both surprised and not surprised, but the next 6 months could define the rest of his career. What do you guys think about that statement?
I would add a couple of words after that. Could define his career in Phoenix. I mean, if the Suns get to the point and James Jones gets to the point and says, okay, we're going to move DeAndre Ayton to improve this team, there's still a chance he could be great somewhere else. I mean, wouldn't that be the most Phoenix thing ever?
Yeah, that would be. But also, I think you also have to recognize that Chris Paul aside, Robert Sarver has been very conservative and cautious when it comes to handing out big dollar deals to To real risky candidates. I don't think Chris Paul represented all that much risk, and he was a very famous player that I think explained and made it possible to bring in that contract. Yeah. So I think James Jones is very aware of that as well, that DeAndre Ayton's going to have to be really good for a sustained period of time to get that money here in Phoenix. So you got to get to the answer, or you've got to cut a good deal at the right time. So I'm not surprised, but I'm encouraged. It just means that they're looking that they're not content with baby steps.
Yeah, and a couple of our listeners, including Paul Calderon, added the Suns should still be listening to offers. Just keep that in mind. Moving on to our next question. It is Inauguration Day today, of course. So today we are making you the president of sports.
Oh, okay.
What is the first rule you would create as the president of sports?
Oh.
And in addition, or either or, what is the first rule you would change?
I have not been officially sworn in yet, so I need a Bible. No? I'm going to go full-on grumpy old man here.
Yes.
I would make it illegal for NBA players to wear shoes that do not match the team colors.
Okay. That is a little bit grumpy, old man.
I thought you were going to be really, really out there and go, I would pass a rule not allowing NBA players to wear shoes. I thought you were just going to go there.
Shoes a big part of the game, Ben.
Yeah,
okay, Vince, what is your old man take on those short suit shorts that LeBron James wore last season? Do you remember that? Where he wore a suit jacket and matching shorts?
Well, I don't think my duties as president of sports would bleed over into his pregame attire. I don't want to overstep my bounds.
So you're hands off there. Okay. Yes.
I as president of sports, oh man, there's a lot I'd like to do, but I think I would start with the unwritten rules of baseball and just burn them to hell.
So they could create all new ones.
Yeah. All right. Ban all unwritten rules.
I'm curious to see what some of our listeners said.
Oh, so many good responses. Okay. Lisa Kling, along with many others, said the day after the Super Bowl is a national holiday. I think that's something
that's a good one.
Many of us can
and
get
here's
behind.
Another one similar. Super Bowl should be held the Sunday of President's Day weekend.
Oh, so that,
you already
hand
have
in
them
hand.
One day off.
There you go. Rhett Reese says this is the easiest answer ever. Salary cap for baseball. A lot of people said that too.
I wouldn't have a problem with it.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't really care either way. Fletcher.
Especially here in Phoenix, Arizona, I would say.
Exactly.
Let's get a salary cap.
That doesn't...
Might be a good thing.
That helps us, doesn't hurt us, yeah. Fletcher says, abolish the NCAA.
Oh.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Kyle Pitts, Stan, says, bring an end to the stadium beer pricing racket. It is important.
Sure is.
Kyle Pitts, Stan, has a point there.
If you remove the experience of just getting a beer at a ball game and just think about logically what you're paying for that product, you will drive yourself absolutely nuts.
It is wild what we talk ourselves into. Well, we won't have a beer at the ballpark. I'll drop $16 on this whatever.
Yeah.
But you could literally, you can get a 6 or 12 pack at the grocery store for the same price of getting like a 16-ounce beer.
You can get on a decent sale, you can get a 12-pack of bottles for the price you pay for one beer at a ball game.
It's painful. That's one of the pains we've been spared in 2020 and 2021, allowed to attend games. John Nybick says no more DH in baseball ever. Quite a few people mentioned the DH.
That's going to be the exact opposite happening.
Bent Bow, another baseball rule, no bunting in the ninth during a no-hitter.
Unwritten rule.
Additional unwritten rule. Great.
Couple more. I like this one from Sam Gost. He says, include more technology in sports. He doesn't go more in depth there, but the viewing experience, maybe with reviews from the officials, that kind of thing. Bear Down Steve says you go to jail for 5 years if you mention Luka Doncic. Luka, right to jail. And the last one from Jared Carlin. Change verses to verse.
Ah, I see what you did there.
Yeah. All right, moving on to our next question. Earlier on in the show, you were talking about Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers getting ready to face off in the NFC Championship game on Sunday. Of the following four quarterbacks. Who do you want as your QB if you're in a playoff game and it's the fourth quarter? Are you taking Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, or Josh Allen?
And that's right now, today, this year.
Today, okay.
Going Brady.
Yeah, I'm not betting against. Yeah, that's where I'm going as well. Part of me would say you go with the best quarterback, period, which would be Patrick Mahomes or Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
But again, this...
But Jared said right now, we don't even know if Mahomes is going to play.
Okay, I know. Yeah. All right.
Assuming that Patrick Mahomes is cleared to play. Yeah. Yeah. And he has no concussion issues.
Yeah, I would say Tom Brady, what really makes him more special than any of his assets is just that, the ability to function incredibly well in incredibly stressful situations. Mm-hmm. That's his thing. And yeah, so that's where
cool.
I'm voting.
He's like Hannibal Lecter. His heart rate never goes
that's
above
right.
70.
That's exactly right.
Or whatever the line was.
Yeah.
Well, Tom Brady was only the third most popular quarterback in this poll.
Wow.
44% want Aaron Rodgers in the fourth quarter. 29% say Patrick Mahomes. 23% say Tom Brady. And the disrespect, 3.6% for Josh Allen.
He's the newcomer.
I know.
Yeah.
But 3.6? That's like Eric Cohen on Mock My World.
All right. Would you have voted for Josh Allen in this poll?
No, sir? I wouldn't have.
You disrespectful person, you.
Would you have even voted?
That's what my mom always says.
If you had 3 votes in that poll, would you have voted for Josh Allen? No.
No.
Yeah, okay.
Fair enough. All right, moving on to our last question. Bickley, you started off today's show talking about finding an artistic soulmate.
Right. How people who have found one are very blessed.
Mm-hmm. So we're asking, open-ended, who is your artistic soulmate? Some sort of creator, artist, musician, someone who really inspires you through their creations.
I have different ones for different categories.
Let's hear them.
I know people are going to say the whole Adam Sandler thing. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Comedically, I'd probably go with Tina Fey.
Bless!
Musically, it's got to be Depeche Mode.
Mm-hmm.
Directorially, I can't say I've ever seen anything that Jason Schwartzman has ever done that I didn't absolutely love.
Okay.
Those are my answers.
Yeah, those are good answers. I'm not sure if I have exactly what I'm talking about. I've got a lot of favorites. I'm going to have to think about that one. Carlin, do you have anything on this subject?
You wouldn't put like Led Zeppelin or AC/DC in that?
No, I wouldn't. I mean, again, those are bands that I like very much, but they don't reach the level to what I'm talking about.
Okay. They don't speak to your soul quite
right.
on that
yeah,
level.
Yeah, exactly. So much that, like I said, where you feel like you've got a twin sibling.
Mm. Okay. Jared?
How about you, Jared?
We'll give our answers at the end of the show.
Later on?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, got it. Okay.
Just a couple quickly. Dave Grohl mentioned Jimmy Buffett, Jim Morrison. Aside from all the drugs and alcohol, says Shane, but I don't think you get to separate those two. I think they're directly related. Janis Joplin and Larry David. Some of the
We got some other
responses.
Good answers, too.
I right, said Air Supply.
Oh, yeah.
I'm all out of love. I'm so... Oh, sorry. My answer snuck through. All right, you guys mull that over. Thank you, Sarah.
Thanks, guys.
Social Studies every day at 1 o'clock here on Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. A lot of people wondering about the health, the availability of one Patrick Mahomes of the Kansas City Chiefs. And if you're a fan of the Chiefs, you got some pretty good news today. Limited practice. And Patrick Mahomes limited, but Andy Reid did offer, the head coach of the Chiefs, did offer an update on his quarterback heading into Sunday's NFC Championship game. Quote, he looked good. He's in the protocol, so there's only certain things he can do. And it's a limited basis, but today is a limited practice, so this fit right into what he can do. But he took all the snaps and feels good. We just have to follow this protocol as closely as we possibly can,
yeah.
Reed told reporters today.
He also mentioned tomorrow is going to be the big day when they're actually doing, you know, real football repping and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I really don't think there's any doubt he's playing football this weekend.
I don't I don't think so either. Now, I would hate to get to Sunday and have Patrick Mahomes take a shot that puts his status in doubt. That would be a bad look.
Well, would it be a dead? That would be the worst look.
But I get
one hit and he's suddenly wobbly again. That would be the worst thing for the NFL.
But I get the feeling, Bic, that Kansas City, the Chiefs, their medical staff, their coaches, they're taking this very seriously.
Mm-hmm.
On a very high leverage stage, they're going through all the steps they need to. We saw Patrick Mahomes minutes after, looking woozy and unable to walk, running downstairs and basically sprinting to the locker room during that. Now, does that mean that there wasn't some sort of head or neck injury? No, but when I saw that, I was like, yeah, okay, he's going to be able to shake this off and maybe even return. But that wasn't the case. So I think the Chiefs are doing the right thing by taking this very seriously and being very careful with their quarterback.
If they are, I mean, and I assume that they are. But we're gonna all see this play out, and let's be real here. I think we all are in unison that unless you're a Bills fan, you want him to play this game because you want these matchups, you want the competitive drama involved here. The Buffalo Bills have got a really good thing going, but now they're facing a real significant test. And they are real underdogs. And Josh Allen even said this today, that when you play the Kansas City Chiefs, there's a certain kind of anxiety because you go into the game knowing, A, you've got to score touchdowns, which influences play calling and the way you look at fourth downs early. You've got to be able to match points with the Kansas City Chiefs. And that creates a lot of pressure for mm-hmm. a team that goes up against them. Clearly, the teams that do the best against Kansas City are the ones that can possess the ball, that can maybe get out and nurse a lead. But Kansas City makes that real tough. You saw last week, they got the opening kickoff, went right down, scored a touchdown. And that's what they do. They're a transcendent offense.
I think it's interesting, too, that both games this weekend, and we'll have a lot more in terms of previewing those games later on in the week, starting tomorrow. But both rematches of regular season games.
Mm-hmm.
And Kansas City beat Buffalo in Buffalo in the regular season, and Tampa Bay took apart Green Bay in Tampa Bay in the regular season.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I think the Buffalo thing, this is an interesting test for Josh Allen, because when you take a look at the quarterbacks involved here, you've got three quarterbacks, all of whom have been to the top of the mountain, three quarterbacks who are considered royalty in the NFL, and you got this kid in Josh Allen who's trying to break into that club. And Josh Allen has got so much to offer, yet there's that wildness about him that you don't know what it's going to mean. It might mean, most of the times, it means something very good for the Bills, and then occasionally it means a really bad turnover. And it's a big hurdle for him. On the field, off the field, psychologically, in the game, thinking clearly in the game, that kind of stuff. It's high-stakes football, yep, man. There's nothing like it. It's why we love the NFL playoffs.
Over in the NFC, and make note that once upon a time, one of the more famous quotes from Bruce Arians, now he said it behind closed doors, but it became public the year that the Cardinals were featured on All or Nothing on Amazon. Remember the whole
I do.
Super Bowl ring? Not a Super Bowl appearance, Super
not
Bowl
a Super
ring.
Bowl. Yeah. Right, yes.
Today, Bruce Arians was apparently asked by a member of the media about the Super Bowl, and he shut it down. Quote, "We don't play that game this week. That's a message to everybody. We play the Packers in the NFC Championship game. You start thinking about the Super Bowl, you'll get your ass beat, and you'll be packing your bags on Monday."
Baby.
Baby.
Now, we don't know what he's telling the Bucks behind closed doors. That might come out in a documentary later on.
No, you wouldn't say that. Now, I didn't have any issue with Bruce Arians saying that before a season when you your first meeting with the team. But some people did. Oh, you shouldn't bring that up. You should make your goals more small.
I mean, they did win seven games that year.
Yes.
So it didn't
true.
Quite work out.
No, that really didn't. Yeah.
Oh. The good old days.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, they were, and that's also on the line here. If you look at storylines that are applicable to what we're going through, Bruce Arians getting back to the Super Bowl after leaving the Arizona Cardinals. I'll tell you, it's something I didn't expect. I thought Bruce Arians was really actually going to retire. And I think it goes to show you that Bruce Arians and the Cardinals, it was a mutual parting of the ways that wasn't necessarily as kumbaya as it might have been.
Yeah. Well, that's I also think it indicated that Bruce Arians really didn't like broadcasting games.
He wasn't really
good at it. And let's also face it, though, when he took the Tampa job, you didn't think that was going to lead to a Super Bowl appearance in his second year there.
No, that team has changed a lot in year two.
I didn't put it past them, but again, getting Tom Brady obviously changed the dynamics of it all.
Mm-hmm.
And you might have wondered about that earlier in the year when Bruce Arians and Tom Brady were not exactly vibing. But now they seem to be in a really good place.
Yeah.
To the point where BA said, I let Tom Brady do something that Bill Belichick didn't. I let Tom Brady coach players. Well, of course you do, BA. Why not delegate? Get out of there quicker.
The Waste Management Phoenix Open returns February 1st through 7th, and we're giving you the chance to win the Coors Light Silver Seats to the Open. Text CHILL to 620-620 for your chance to win. That's CHILL to 620-620. Coming up next, we'll talk football with our weekly NFL guest, Mark Schlaer. Straight ahead, it's Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station. NFL analyst Mark Schlaer talks football with Bickley and Murata. Brought to you by Earnhardt Ford in Chandler. Proud partner of the Arizona Cardinals. Visit EarnhardtFord.com.
Yep, Wednesdays. Mark Schlaer joins the show to talk NFL. He's from NFL on Fox 104.3, The Fan in Denver, and he joins us right now here on Bickley and Murata. What's up, Mark?
How are you guys, man? Great to be with you.
Always great to have you on the show. Four teams remaining, but the big question, obviously, is Patrick Mahomes. I know he practiced today on a limited basis. Do you have any doubt that Patrick Mahomes will be full go by the time Sunday rolls around?
No, I don't have any doubt. You know, the concussion protocol is interesting. He was never actually diagnosed or he goes into concussion protocol, but there was never a diagnosis of a concussion.
Never.
That I've heard of. And so you've still got to go through all the steps. I understand that, but I think you can hopefully expedite, as long as it's healthy and as long as it's safe, you know, that process. It was just a weird thing because the whole injury issue just felt weird to me, you know, when he stumbled around there. It's almost like he lost his breath or something. I don't know what happened, but it's good news that he's practicing on a limited basis. And, you know, here we are on Wednesday. I'm sure he'll have a little bit more time as the following days go. And as long as he's kind of good to go on Friday and Saturday, I think he should be fine to play.
Now, have you ever had your bell rung to that point where you went to stand up and you're like, wow, I can't feel my left foot. I can't stand up.
You know, yeah, sure. Yeah, I mean, okay. That used to be standard operating procedure. I mean, I used to knock myself out all the time. To where, you know, you black out for 4 or 5 seconds and kind of wake up on the bottom of a pile. And that was, you know, I mean, that back in my day was just fine. You know, there was no issues with that. So, you know, I mean, it changes, obviously, you know, people get worried about it. I don't live my life that way. I don't concern myself that way. And, it's part of what we all do and the part of the risk that every one of us took, but yeah, sure. You know, see stars and, you know, and where you're kind of like a little bit punch drunk, walking back into the huddle and try to get your faculties together. Yeah, sure. All the time.
Mark Schlaer, our weekly NFL guest, he joins us here on Bickley and Murata. Staying on that game, obviously Kansas City is Kansas City. They're hosting the championship game for the third straight year. That's an accomplishment in itself. I agree with you. I think Patrick Mahomes will be full go. But something about this Buffalo team strikes me as special. Do you get that feeling, and how do you gauge their chances of going to Arrowhead and winning this game?
Yeah, you know, they're a really good football team. You know, it's interesting because as I prepared to do one of their games earlier this year, it's a really interesting kind of matchup or a really interesting team. You know, you think of Buffalo, the cold weather, all the stuff, and you think, oh, they're going to run the ball and they're going to dominate. And they are a spread football team. They are a 3-by-2 formation. They are a 4-wides formation.
And, you know, it's interesting because you look at, like, the chemistry they have on the offensive side with their quarterback, Josh Allen. Beasley does not run a normal route tree. He is kind of the get-open guy. Everything is an option route inside, and he looks at the game. He sees the game just like the quarterback does. So they are so dialed together. And it's funny talking to Josh Allen about Stephon Diggs. He's like, Stephon Diggs would drive just about any quarterback in the league crazy because he's never where he's supposed to be. Like if it's supposed to be run at 6 yards, he may be at 9 yards, he may be at 4 yards or whatever. But, you know, they have this chemistry together. It's almost like 80s football. Just get open. And they have that together where they really are dialed in. And it's just an interesting thing to watch them execute their offense. You know, it's so funny because we get so enamored. Like, you know, the combine season, I know the combine's been canceled, but the workout season, you know, is upon us, you know, and we're going to get all excited about some idiot that ran a 4.3 40, you know, and we're going to be like, he's going to be the greatest player in the history of football. And I had a coach tell me something this year that just really resonated with me, because it's not your ability to run fast. Everybody can run fast. Like, what the hell is the difference between a 4.38 and a 4.42? Like, really, what's the difference?
Yeah.
It's not your ability to run fast, it's your ability to stop fast. It's your short range burst. It's your ability to stop and cut and get out of there and create separation. Because that's what's different. And if you have the ability to stop on a dime, you've got the ability to be open. And you know what? The more I watch the game, the more it resonates with me. Those are the guys that always have this short yard, the short range, just separation. Yeah, you know, that short range quickness that allows them to separate. That ability to, you know, come off the ball like you're running a go, and then stop and turn around, and the DB is still gathering his footwork. You know,
yeah.
That's the difference. And they have that in Buffalo, man. They have a really good system and really good players.
What do you make when you look at this Tampa Green Bay matchup? Knowing what we all know about Tom Brady's ability to rise to a moment, clearly he's not the same guy he was. But when the game gets crazy, he's got a real good ability to zone in. Quite obviously, how do you think that plays out this weekend?
Yeah, not as good as I once was. Wasn't that the Toby Keith song? Not as good as I once was, but as good once as I ever was.
Right, exactly.
Like that. Right, that's Tom Brady. Like, he just has that. He just has that ability, and he's got that believability. Right, I think that's the most important. Like, everybody just looks to him and says, "Hey, man, we got Tom Brady. We got a chance to win," and they buy into that. And by the way, I mean, Tampa is they're so talented defensively. You know, their linebacking core. I mean, Devin White has a rocket up his ass. He's just flying around hitting people, and the guy's unbelievable. I've gotten to cover him. He's one of my favorite players to cover. He's just phenomenal. And so they've got great players. They've got a great scheme, and they have grown into this scheme. You know, they have this nonverbal communication and what they want to do, and they're tied together now. So they've got that ability. I'll tell you the other thing with Green Bay, which has just been phenomenal. You know, everybody talks about Aaron Rodgers, and rightfully so, he's great. But think about, they lost a all-pro left tackle to a practice injury, mm-hmm. tore his ACL. They take Billy Turner, who's their starting right guard, he's started at right tackle. Hey, move over to starting left tackle. And, oh, by the way, you know, shut out the Rams. And I get that Aaron Donald wasn't full strength, but the Rams have, I mean, they are awesome. You know, defensively, the number one defense in all of football. Aaron Rodgers doesn't even get touched, not so much as sniffed. And they rush for over 200 yards with it's running back du jour. You know, it's the right. Soup of the day that back there. It doesn't matter. So they are phenomenal that way. That should just be a great matchup.
Yeah, Mark Schlereth, our weekly guest here, talking NFL. Aaron Rodgers is, I think he's a wizard. And if you look at his statistics, he might be having his best year: 50 touchdowns over 5 interceptions, including the playoffs. Yet, if you look at his history in the NFC Championship game, it hasn't been stellar. The interception rate has been up. Do you read into that at all? Is that just coincidence? Is he now helped by the fact that he's playing his first NFC Championship game at Lambeau, but what do you make of his failings in the NFC Championship game earlier?
Well, I think, one, you're playing against another team, another defense, and another football team that has earned their way to that position. So You know, you're not playing the blind sisters of the poor. You're playing the second best team or one of the best teams in the NFC. So you've got that part of it going. And then the other part is this is a new offense. You know, this is an offense under Matt LaFleur that's different than anything Aaron Rodgers had played in before. Whereas, and this is straight from Aaron Rodgers, you know, during Mike McCarthy's time, we were a matchup offense. It was find the matchup and exploit the matchup. We're a much better scheme offense now. Whereas, like, I think one of the things that really good coaches do, and this is something that I just, you know, talking to a lot of coaches and talking to GMs and talking to people around the league, the great coaches say, okay, we're going to throw it 35 times in this particular game. I'm going to take 12 of those throws off your plate. Like, there's going to be 12 simple completions for you where you don't even have to think. So let me take that off and get you down to, you know, whatever the math is left over, 23 times where you actually have to do something. Mm-hmm. But we're going to take 12 of those off your plate. And, you know, from a scheme standpoint, like the way it works with most teams in the NFL is, hey, on first and second down, we're going to attack scheme, right? We're going to run whatever route combination we run, whatever play action we run, we're going to attack you with our scheme. Third down, we're going to match up. Third down, we're going to say, where's Devontae Adams? I'm going to go find it, right?
Right.
So that's kind of how it works. I had one defense coordinator tell me when facing Aaron Rodgers, he goes, if they're successful on first down, if it's second down and four, I would just as soon on second and four call timeout and just give them a first down. It's like the intentional walk. Like, hey, no, you right. guys can have first down again. Let's start over from first. Because if it's second down and four, he's just going to eviscerate you. Everything's at his disposal. You have no chance. And that's how good he is. And it's really interesting. When I was I'd love to sit down and continue to pick his brain. I had about a 45-minute Zoom call with him this year. And one of the things he told me that is different than any other quarterback has told me this year. He goes, when I think about what you're playing on the back end, it starts in the front end. So I was taught, by the quarterback coach, I think in Arizona right now, who was in Green Bay when he first got into the league.
Tom Clemens.
He was taught. Yeah. Tom Clemens. Yeah. So he was taught by Tom to understand fronts and how fronts tie into blitz, how fronts tie into the back end. So based on the front you play, I know which safeties rotating down before you rotate them down. Based on the front you play, I know what pressures you can bring out of that front, whether it's, you know, Mike Sam or Mike Will or strong safety, you know, strong safety Sam, whatever it is. I know what blitz potential comes from that, and then I know what coverage you play behind that just based on the front that you line up. Did you line up in a 25? Did you line up in a, you know, a 57? Did you line up in a 56? Did you line up in a 4-3? Did you line up in a 45 or a 49? What, like, I know based upon the front that you line up in what you're going to play on the back end.
Yeah.
And it's fascinating because he's the only guy that I have talked to that plays the quarterback position that looks at it not from the back forward, but looks at it from the front back.
Wow.
And it's just a fascinating conversation. And, you know, you understand why he only throws 5 picks a year.
Yeah, exactly. Right. That's pretty sense.
Mark,
explains it.
Great stuff as always, man. Yeah. We appreciate the insight. Enjoy the football this weekend.
Absolutely, guys.
All right, take care. Mark Schlereth, our weekly NFL guest, NFL on Fox, 104.3 The Fan in Denver. He joins us every Wednesday here on Bickley and Murata. Coming up next, another NBA game for tonight postponed, and it involves a team the Suns just played. Sound familiar? We'll get into all the details next. Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station. Bickley and Murata, Song of the Day.
Oh, yes, the Wildflowers.
Yeah, that's right.
Nick's pick for Song of the Day today.
Yes, it is. The Cult, based on, conversation earlier. Yeah. Love the cult.
Based on the San Francisco 49ers, the beginning of the football season, having to deal with the uncertainty of having wildflowers in their area.
Yeah.
I could have played. Awesome. I mean, there's got to be songs about wildfire, too, right? She ran calling wildfire. I love that song.
I bet you Gambo loves that song. I guarantee you Gambo loves that song.
I get it. I would be right there on that side of the bet with you.
She's coming for me, I know.
There's today's song of the day. Quote Yogi Berra, deja vu all over again. Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN reporting that tonight's Memphis Grizzlies Portland Trailblazers game has been postponed because of contact tracing. Sources tell ESPN. He then followed up and said the contact tracing is focused on Memphis's side, the team the Suns just played on Monday night. Jonas Valanciunas of the Grizzlies did not play in that game. He was on health and safety protocol. Read into it what you want. I was on Kellen Olsen's Twitter feed.
Uh-huh.
He brought it up. NBA announces Grizzlies game for against Portland has been postponed due to contact tracing for Memphis. Then he said, cannot imagine the level of frustration for the Suns if this happens again. Followed that up. Obviously, the Suns shouldn't play tonight. We'll see. After tonight, the Suns play Denver at home on Friday and Saturday, and then are off until next Wednesday. We might not have basketball
listen,
tonight.
Listen, you can't even go there, in my opinion.
Don't put it out in the universe.
Please don't even put that out there.
Don't kill the messenger.
How would the Phoenix Suns handle another kind of shutdown like that? Oh, we can't.
Because if it was like last time, they would, again, have their next three. They wouldn't play again until next Wednesday.
Yeah. Right.
And then Monty Williams was on our show yesterday and kind of recounted the experience that he's had, this team has had, of playing through a pandemic and having a stretch of three straight home games postponed.
If we're nothing. We are creatures of habit. If you've played since you were, you know, 6, 7 years old, you knew what your day was going to be like as it relates to basketball. And the one thing that's been thrown off this year is the consistency of our day, just because of the testing. You know, now we're testing twice a day, and those times are pretty random. And so it can throw your days off, your meetings off. Obviously, you tip at the same time. But as far as our day is concerned, guys are waking up a ton earlier than they normally would because we got to get to the gym and get tested before we even start practice. And that's something that, you know, guys are going to get used to, and hopefully we get used to it and it's over here soon. But that's the one thing that I remind myself is that the guys and the coaching staff, our days have been so inconsistent, and that's something that we're not used to. I could walk through my day with a blindfold on and know exactly where I need to go and get there because I just do it all the time. And that's the one thing that's been a lot different than in years past.
Yeah, so as much as I was willing to agree with Bick and Bet that Gambo loves that song, I also guarantee that Gambo will have more information on this coming
okay,
up at 2
yes.
o'clock today. Because
right,
that's
good.
The latest from Adrian Wojnarowski. Memphis, Portland. Yeah. Postponed for tonight.
It's getting canceled. You know that.
Now you're putting it out in the universe. Are you ready for great moments in New York sports radio?
Oh, please.
So the story yesterday, the Jared Porter story that exploded. Jared Porter gets fired as the general manager of the New York Mets for creepy behavior, basically. Lewd text messages sent to a female reporter. Incident that took place over a matter of months in 2016. He's had a couple of jobs since then, and Jeff Passan, one of the ESPN writers who helped break the story, along with Mina Kimes, who had been originally on that story for years before Jeff Passan was even employed by ESPN. Well, Jeff Passan went on the Michael Kay Show on ESPN 98.7 FM in New York, and this is the way the interview started.
Jeff, how you doing?
Michael, can I get a couple things out of the way off top here?
Yes.
There's another radio station in New York that's
been pretty damn irresponsible today about its coverage of this. And I hate giving them any shine because they don't deserve it. But the notion that ESPN has been sitting on this story since 2017 is the most giant load of irresponsible garbage that I've heard in a long time. We have duties as journalists to protect our sources and to look after the people who give us the stories that we get to tell. It is their story. It is not ours. And the idea that we have been sitting on this because this woman who went through a horrendous thing with somebody in a position of power and ended up having to move back to her country and get out of journalism because of it, the idea that she wasn't ready at that time is perfectly rational and normal and the type of response that I think any of us could go through. She wasn't ready. The story waits for when the person whose it is ready to tell it. And so she waited. And she left the industry where she was worried she was going to have backlash and potentially have her job harmed. And she saw Jared Porter's rise to general manager of the New York Mets, putting him in a position of great power and great authority, and thought to herself, this man who has his dream job ended up facilitating me losing my dream job. And I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything. And so the idea that this story 4.5 years later after this incident happened has any less resonance, has any less importance, and has any less right to be told, anybody who thinks that needs to shut up.
By the way, the
drop the mic.
And the radio host in New York who enraged Jeff Passan was none other than the infamous Craig Carton.
He's back.
Yeah. Surprise, huh? Shocking.
That's a very well stated rant, though.
Yeah, it was really well done.
Did you guys sit on this?
Some for schmuck on the radio.
Did you guys sit on this for 4.5 years? That's going to do it for us today.
Yeah.
Thanks to Shane Doan for hanging out with us. Mark Schlaer, thanks to you for listening. We appreciate it, as
I
always.
I hope you're working tonight, Vinny. Come on,
they're
man. I want to watch basketball.
They're on the road. I'm off either way.
Oh, that's right.
My feet will be up.
I forgot. That's
Burns
right.
And Burns and Gambo up next. 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. We'll see you.